The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Hope you're all going to have a good day listening today to the show. And if you want to give me a call, as usual, the number is 877-207-2276. We have no callers waiting right now, so the lines are wide open. You can also send me an email. That's easy. Just direct it to info@carm.org, C-A-R-M. .org, info@carm.org. And put in the subject line, radio comment, radio question, and we can get to that. Okay. Whew. So I'm going to continue to say thank you for those of you who are praying for my wife, and also for Joanne. Joanne works with the ministry, and Joanne has some issues. She needs prayer. Okay, just leave it at that. Just do some prayer. If you would pray for her, that'd be great. And my wife is recovering. Oh, man, poor girl. Both of them are in a lot of pain and just having to deal with what they got to deal with. Having said that, let's see. Still nobody waiting. Oh, where's my coffee? Oh, there it is. And, you know, I love coffee. Maybe I'm addicted. I don't know. I think coffee's awesome. You know, I look forward to getting up in the morning for one main reason. Well, two. One, I get to serve God. The other was coffee. And my wife and I have a nice little special coffee machine. And over the years, I perfected a cup of coffee so that when I drink it, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like coffee. And so I have it in the morning. And then I sometimes have one during the day, like about now. So I have a coffee. And someone sent me a coffee cup. I have it in my hand. It's one of those kind of cups that you can, on your phone, you can tell, you know, set it to what temperature you want. So I have that. And I have to rewire everything, make it perfect. Like, that's a perfect temperature for me. So it's all good. All right, we got Champ saying he's praying for my wife and Joanne. Thank you very much. And if you want to watch the show, watch me sitting here. And even if you are interested, you could participate in the chat in Rumble. Just go to rumble.com/MattSlickLive. That's one of the things you can do, and you can check that out there. All right. I didn't get on Discord last night. Just got exhausted. And can you put your mic closer to your mouth? Sounding warbly. Warbly? Let me see if this, let me try the notes. This is live stuff. It should be working fine. It should be working. Everything's such fine. Tell me if it's okay now. All right. There's a call coming in from the one and only Jermaine. He's awesome. And what I'm going to do is look at some of my emails because today's Friday. I can't believe it. You know, the past 2 weeks, I've been off a day on what day of the week it feels like. You ever had those? You know, it feels like Wednesday, and it's actually a Thursday. And stuff like that. So that's what's been happening to me. It's been interesting. All right. And we have radio questions that I can get to. Question for the show. I can get to that as soon as... let's get to Jermaine from California. Hey, Jermaine, buddy. Welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Matt.
Hey, man, thanks.
Yeah, you know, you were... with a caller, I think it was last week, and you had made a comment about you do not trust Muslims, I believe. And right. I just wanted to kind of hear you elaborate on that. And you know, I think I might know why, but I just wanted to hear you develop it because I had a follow-up afterwards.
Because there's something they can practice called taqiyya, and it is the practice... Not all Muslims will do this, but it's within their religious system that they can practice deception in order to promote Islam. I remember a friend of mine, he comes over every few years. We don't talk because he's in a foreign country. I have to be very careful in teaching, helping. And he's a Christian, and it's a Muslim country. And he told me the story of true story of a Christian man and a Muslim man whose families were very close. They loved each other. Their children would spend the night over each other's houses, that kind of thing, over 25 years. And then the imam of the Muslim told the Muslim, go kill that Christian guy, and he did. Just did it. And it says in Surah 9 to kill the infidels. Now, if you were to go to, and I recommend people do this, I'm going to do it right now, thereligionofpeace.com, thereligionofpeace.com, it documents how many Islamic terrorists, how many attacks have been carried out since 9/11, and it's 47,012. And so I can't trust a Muslim because they believe the Quran. The Quran teaches deception and domination, and they serve a false god. I also can't trust Mormons because I know that in Mormonism they practice deception as well. There have been countless accounts of Mormons who will deal with Gentiles, they call them, and will bankrupt people because they'll go with a deal and then they go back on their word or the contract, say, sue me, that kind of thing. And they've hurt a lot of people that way. You know, those are the reasons I won't trust them. And unless I have to, if you know what I mean. Okay.
You know, I'm really thankful that God led me to the show because that was going to be my example. I have a lot of in-laws who are involved in the Mormon religion, and a couple are elders. And my experience has been growing up with some of the ones who I felt were more trustworthy were the least faithful. They were more what we used to call Jack Mormons, where they were pretty much, they were there, but they were not really Mormon, but they didn't want to lose their whole families by abandoning the religion. But my wife had an experience with a startup company, and she poured her heart and soul into this, and she had for her in-law and aunt, and the short version is she did everything for this woman and then came to find out that it was an attempt to really steal her business, not so much work with her. And my wife was crushed, and I said, hey, you know, we still love them as people, but I've learned, unfortunately, it seems like those particular types of Mormons like to work with each other, and they probably had an idea to do this from the very beginning because they see you as less than them. And that exactly, pretty much word for word, what you said, that's exactly what was attempted. It didn't work. You know, God had my wife's best interest at heart. I'll just say that. And they failed miserably. And she still says hello and treats them well. But everything that you said is exactly what they did. It was an attempt to steal, to dominate, and just they ended up kind of going bankrupt themselves in a way. So I really appreciate that answer because people can take it the wrong way and not fully understand your reasoning, which is, in my opinion, very biblical.
Yeah, and here's the thing, just to be fair, not all Mormons and not all Muslims are like that. But enough of them are that you have to be careful. Let me just say that as far as Mormons go, I have heard so many stories. In fact, I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. A guy told me to my face this stuff. We sat outside, had coffee, and he told me exactly what happened. And he had gone out to a city not too far from here on the east side of Idaho to take care of his father's business who had passed away. So he was out there for 3 or 4 weeks. Well, before he had gone out there, he's a faithful Mormon, he and his wife, and he asked a question about the Book of Mormon or something like that, Mormon history. And the bishop said, we don't ask questions like that. And he told me he's a little upset by that. Well, what do you mean you don't ask questions like that? Well, it's just a question. And he said he wasn't doubting Mormonism. He wasn't going to leave it. He wasn't saying anything. He wasn't causing any problems. It just was puzzling to him. Anyway, so, okay, whatever. He said didn't really mean anything. And he went out to another city, took care of business. another 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it was, came on the way back. He called his wife, and his wife said, don't come home. What do you mean, don't come home? Yeah, don't come home, because we're getting a divorce. Divorce? What are you talking about? So he went to the house anyway, and there were several Mormons there, and there was another man there, the man she ended up marrying. There were some suits, and they presented this, the husband, the first husband, they presented him with a lawsuit of divorce, and they had done this while he was gone. And they just pulled the rug out from underneath him. He lost his cars. He lost his home. And he worked for a Mormon company. They fired him. So within just a day, he's destitute. He had $2,000, he told me, $2,000. And he wanted to use that to buy a car, a used junker car, just to get around so he could find work. Because now, you know, his situation was so bad. Well, he had a Mormon buddy. He's, you know, they've loved each other, you know, forever, you know. And he says, "I, that car you were selling, hey, can I buy it?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, sure, sure, no sweat." So this Mormon guy took his money and kept the money and the car. And this is how he was treated. Why? Because he asked a question and wasn't happy with the response of "Don't ask questions." And that's why they did this. They went after him. I've heard this kind of story many times from Mormons, people who have been Mormon. Mm-hmm. It's a cult. You know, it's a cult, and that's one of the tactics that cults use. And Islam is similar. You know, it's what do you expect from religions that where men invented them, get lots of women, lots of money, lots of power. You know, it's just what it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I've also found the same to be true of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they all have their version of a theological reason that they can lie to you. And just being around some of the Mormon folks, or they like to call themselves LDS these days, they don't like the term Mormon. They want to be as closely identified with Christianity as possible and deceive as many as they can. But I always hear one particular lady, she always says we need to go out and preach the gospel, but she never elaborates on what exactly that is. And I just wait for her because I know they're trying to set you up, and they're used to believers that don't read their Bibles. But, you know, the question has been asked, hey, what is the gospel? And they have, you know, of course, their version of the gospel is not the true gospel, and it is damning.
Chris. In fact, what the Jehovah's Witnesses call that tactic is called theocratic warfare. There's a term for it, theocratic warfare. It used to be like, that's what they used to call it. And and Charlie's putting in theocratic tact. So they have, they're justified, when groups are justified in lying to further their cause, something's wrong. Because the true God cannot lie, does not lie. So false religions, lying is a tool to be able to expand your kingdom. And who's the father of lies? Satan. And his kingdom is who their membership are in. The kingdom of Satan. The Muslims, the Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses, and other groups that teach lying as a strategic way to further their religious truths. So, bad news. All right, buddy?
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate your questions, man. They're always good, Jermaine. You're awesome. All right, folks. Hey. Break, give me a call at 772-07-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Let's get on the phone with David from California. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Basically, my question is, well, I know women are not to be in a position as pastor or elder. I was curious about the position of deacon.
Yeah, they're not to be women either. Deacons must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. That's 1 Timothy 3, 8 and 9. Verse 10 says, these men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons. They are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children. Verse 12. So women are not qualified to be deacons. Okay.
Okay, so basically interchangeable, or?
With what?
Deacons and elders would be interchangeable as far as what the position is?
No. Elders include pastors, and elders are the ones who rule well. 1 Timothy 5:17. But deacons, they're the ones who deal with the issues of administering help to the needy within the congregation. That's their main work, main job. Elders' job is to preach and teach. And both are places of authority within the church. And they're not for women.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't get it. They don't like the idea of women being restricted from those positions. It's not my issue. It's the issue of the scriptures. And I'll do this once again. You know, I just offer a challenge to anybody out there in the United States who wants to do a public, formal public debate in a church, have it be filmed, and does the Bible support women pastors and elders? And I've been offering that challenge for, I don't know, maybe 20 years, I guess. Not a single opportunity has arisen for anybody to take me up on that. Not one. I wonder why that would be. What do you think? Maybe it's because it's not in Scripture, their position. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Similar follow-up on that, as far as women being given a title of pastor, if it was over, say, women's ministry or children's ministry, is giving their position the title of pastor okay, or should they just be called something else?
It should not be called pastor, but they're not a pastor. A pastor is here, let me go to 1 Timothy 5:17, and I'll tell you there's some reasons why they shouldn't be called that. It says, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting around verse 8. He gave gifts to men. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And so the noun in the Greek is in the masculine, pastors, poimenos. So, and it's for the working of the service, the building of the body of Christ. So pastors are by default elders because they work hard at preaching and teaching. And the elders are to be anermes gunaikas in the Greek, men of one woman, or men of one wife, husband of one wife. Women cannot fit that bill. So deacons don't serve in preaching and teaching. The elders do that. They're different. And, your question was, should they call them pastors? No, they shouldn't. Because let's say you have a newborn believer, and he goes into a church where they don't allow women elders, but call a particular woman a pastor of the women's group. Well, now he's hearing, oh, it's women pastor. Okay. So he has to move for a job, and there's a leftist wacko church down the corner, women pastor, whatever her name is, of the church, or what's happening now. And they go, oh, women pastors are biblical, so he goes to the church. Okay.
Okay. I was just kind of curious about that because I've got an interesting situation with my sister my mother being a deacon at her Presbyterian church and my sister being titled as a elder at her church. And so just sorting out, I know for my sister that's a bad position. I'm struggling whether or not to call that position right for my mom. And then the church I'm currently attending, the person who is over the children's ministry just finished seminary. So they were giving her, I guess, title of pastor over children's ministry. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure if that was appropriate or not for that position.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And women can go to seminary. When I went to seminary, there were women, but they couldn't enter into the pastorate degree. That was for men only. And so that pastorate degree was a three-year degree. Master's of Divinity was a three-year degree, which is what I did. And then they have Master's of Arts of Religion. That's and women can go with that. And that's fine. Go, you know, learn. Women can be used in other areas of church. They can certainly teach women. They can certainly teach children. They can be of incredible value. They can be researchers. They can be assistants. They can help administer. They can do all kinds of stuff. It's just they're not to be pastors and elders. Now, I'm going to just say this out loud, you know, for everybody to hear. If you go to a church with a woman pastor, elder, deacon, you need to leave, you know, because they're not holding up to biblical theology. And in my research I did years ago, 80% of the denominations that adopt women pastors within 2 years started adopting pro-homosexuality. And, you know, Paul the Apostle says in 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13, he said, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain silent, for Adam was first created. So this is not a cultural issue. This is an issue of what's called primogeniture, which is the teaching that the firstborn male has certain rights that the secondborn male in the family does not, and that the prima geniture, Genesis, first formed, first male, and they may not like it, but that's just what it says. Firstborn title is firstborn male. Firstborn title is transferable. It's a position of authority and honor, and it's related onto the issue of the Adamic created order, because Eve sinned before Adam did. She was in the world there with Adam, but sin entered the world through Adam, not through her, even though she sinned first. That's Romans 5:12, because he was the federal head, the representative of his descendants. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. And in Romans 5:18, through one trespass there resulted condemnation to all men. So this is talking about Adam's failure, and through his transgression, the many were made sinners, Romans 5:19. So male headship is just the issue. Now, women don't have to like it. I don't care if they like it or don't like it. The issue is you need to submit to what the Word of God says. And so if you can have a Presbyterian denomination that has women elders and pastors and stuff, I would suspect that this is probably the United Presbyterian Church, which is it's liberal, it's bad, and
gotta go.
Yeah. So you gotta go. Okay. So bad stuff. Okay. All right, buddy. So yeah, folks. You know, when I say this kind of stuff, it's not just I'm just trying to be shock, you know, shock jock or something like that. It's just what the Bible says. And again, I'll offer this challenge up. If anybody wants to have a formal, in-person debate in a church on this topic, does the Bible support women pastors and elders, let me know, and we'll arrange it. Been offering this for over 20 years on a regular basis, not a single taker. Let's get back to everything right after the break. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, it's easy, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome, brother. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Matt Slick. What a question. When Roman Catholics claim to be a child of God and all that, even though they persecute evangelical Christians in the job and all that, or they join with the unbelievers, mocking them and all that, how can they still be considered a child of God anyway?
See, when you talk about individual Catholics who do stuff that's right or wrong, it doesn't represent the whole church. So, but children of God is given by adoption. So as in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So they think they're children of God, but they're not, because they're Catholics. And the Catholic Church teaches a false gospel, a false priesthood, and a false Mary. So there might be real born-again people in the Catholic Church who are children of God in the sense of being truly adopted and redeemed, but normally speaking, no, they're not. They're I don't want to say wicked stepchildren, but they're not children of God in that sense. Okay.
So what do you think about like you say, these Catholics, they said they're children of God, and the, and yet the Bible says he who loves the world, the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him, but he's the enemy of God. He wants to become the friend of God, he's the enemy of God. So like most, experience, most Catholics, you know, they said that they're basically, they said they're Catholics, but they're out there in the clubs, smoking, drinking, partying.
Okay, hold on.
And so that's
But you're just talking about individuals and experiences. It doesn't mean, it really, you know, we have to go with what the Catholic doctrines are, not the faulty behaviors of some of its members. So that's why I'll say, you know, if I had a Mormon missionary once threaten me with death, and it doesn't represent all Mormons. So I don't use that as an example of what Mormonism is. That's not what Mormonism teaches. Well, historically, mm-hmm. they killed a lot of people, but in the 1800s they did. But that's not the official doctrine. That's not what they, you know, so I don't use that as a representation of them. And you shouldn't do the same thing. You should not do that either, I should say. You have some bad Catholics out there who are doing stuff hypocritically. That doesn't represent the Catholic Church. Okay?
Okay. So in other words, the worldly lost folks feel comfortable around those Catholics because they're not a threat to the kingdom of Satan, basically, those Catholics. They're not a threat to the kingdom of Satan.
Well, I can't say. You know, you can have people in different levels of spirituality. I can't just judge all of them in that sense of not knowing mm-hmm. their motives or behaviors. That's why I refer to official Roman Catholic theology and go specifically mm-hmm. on that and then apply it as we can to individuals and see where they're at in relationship to that. So, all right?
Okay. I got a quick question for you, if you don't mind. Well, I hear people like a sinner say, they say, well, I don't have a problem with Jesus, just with Christians. But yeah. in reality, if Christ was here in the flesh, the biblical Christ, I guarantee you they will have problem with Jesus, because see, it's easy to say that because he's not here, but so they can manipulate the Jesus the way they want him to be like. So it's easy to say I don't have a problem with Jesus, of course, but because they manipulate the Jesus they got the way based on what the way they like him to be, not based on Scripture. So
that's often the case.
If you have a problem with Christians, the Christian is the body of Christ, and it's the bride of Christ. So if you have a problem with Christians, you're going to have a problem with Jesus, because Jesus is the bride of the...
Well,
the wife.
Sometimes Christians are not very good Christians. Some they don't represent Christ very well. They're full of hypocrisy sometimes and impatience. And Christians are known a lot of times to not be very dedicated to Christ. So there's false converts within the Christian faith. But this is why I say go with what the mm-hmm. official doctrines are. Go with the person of Christ. We're always going to fail. But don't look to us. Look to Christ. And then we're trying. Mm-hmm. True Christians are trying to emulate Jesus. All right?
Yeah, but okay. Let me ask something real quick. So I'm going to keep you going. One time I met a guy in the street. I gave out some guys some gospel tracts. One of the other guy, they wouldn't accept the track. He said, why? He said, Christians are hypocrites. Then I asked him, you say Christians are hypocrites. Why don't you accept Christ and live the Christian life the way you expect us to live by it? So that he didn't like that either, because he know he can't live up. Good. He can't live up to it either. So because he said to judge somebody, you're a hypocrite, because he can't live up to it either. Go ahead.
No, it's a good response. I like that. Good for you. Yeah, that works.
Mm-hmm. He walked away. He got quiet.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times people use that as an excuse, and you just called it.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's
good for you. All right, buddy.
Yeah,
good stuff, man.
Yeah. All right,
Alberto. Thanks.
A great word, nice place. All right.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right, let's get to John from Charlotte, North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, it's your chocolate brother in Christ. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, how you? How you doing? You hanging in there okay?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm getting old, but, you know,
oh,
I'm here another day.
get to see my kids and get to see them grow, so I'm very blessed. I got a question for you, man. I had two of them, but I forgot what the other one was. But I was doing a little bit, not hardcore research, but some research on the fact that when believers get to heaven, we won't be able to see God the Father. We'll see Jesus Christ, but we won't be able to see God the Father. And first off, is that correct from your studies? And if that's the case, why not? Because I saw a little bit of some commentary that said, no man can see God and live. But if we're in our glorified bodies, why wouldn't we be able to see him? We're kind of confused about why we wouldn't be able to see God the Father.
Yeah. No man can see God, for no man can see my face and live. And that's Exodus 33:20, because he says that to Moses. Can I see my face, for no man can see me and live? Now, when we go to 1 Timothy 6:16, we see that speaking of the Father, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. So we don't find anything in Scripture that says, oh, well, they can if they're in resurrected bodies. We don't find that in Scripture. It's often the case is when I show Mormons, for example, I'll show them that verse, that the Father dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. That refutes all of Mormonism, because Mormonism is based on the first vision where Joseph Smith said he saw God the Father. Well, the Bible says he can't. Uh-huh. So what they'll do then, well, the Bible's wrong, the Bible's changed, or that means if you're not a prophet, or unless you're blessed, and they just throw in excuses to make it fit so that Joseph Smith is who, you know, is somehow true. So when anyone changes God's word or just inserts stuff in it to change its meaning, well, it's false. So what we have to do is say, well, what does it say? What it does say is he dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see. So when we get to heaven, I don't believe we'll be able to see the Father. Maybe see the glory of God. Like Acts 7:55 through 60. It says here, Acts 7:55, being full of the Holy Spirit, that's Stephen, being stoned, gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. People say, well, Matt, that proves he saw God. No, it says he saw the glory of God. So God dwells in unapproachable light. So that is probably what he was saying, the unapproachable light, the glory of him. And that's what it is right there.
What's your best guess? Like, why do you think we wouldn't? Why do you think that we wouldn't? Not why we wouldn't be able to, but why is it? Why do you think that's so?
Probably because God is so majestic in his holiness and his power and his grandeur, being greater than the entire universe, and that we could not handle his presence. And this is why we have the incarnation, so that there's a way to communicate with us through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's probably what it is. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say for sure.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, man. Well, good speaking with you as always, man. I appreciate it. If I ever think of that other question, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a call back next week or something.
Sounds good. It's what I'm here for. All right, man.
All right, God man. Bless. You take care. God bless you.
You too. All right. All right. All right. Now, let's see before the break, which is coming up any minute. Jeff from South Carolina. Jeff, welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just got a quick question. I don't know.
Oh, there's the music.
It might not be an interesting question, but...
we'll see. Hold on after the break, okay, brother? Because the break's just now starting.
Okay.
And then we'll get to you after the break, so hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have one caller waiting. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. All right, Jeff, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Not sure how to go about the question, but I believe Jesus is God. I believe in the Trinity. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He was manifest. God was manifest in the flesh. But when I was younger, I would play directly to Jesus. Like, I would just start praying to Jesus. But now, like, later, I always think I have to say, you know, like the Lord's Prayer, like, call on God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I don't know why I have an issue. I want to pray directly to Jesus sometimes, and sometimes I'm just by myself. Well, that's not correct. Maybe I should.
Yes, it is.
And Associate Reformed Presbyterian preacher, he would preach at church, both ways. You know, so I mean, what's my hang up? Why does that?
I'm not sure.
Why do I want to pray directly to Jesus? But then I'm like. Right.
Let me just tell you the biblical evidence, okay? In John 14:14, Jesus says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. That's prayer to Christ. In John 16:23-24, in that day, Jesus says, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. This applies then to the believers in Christ. In Acts 7:55 or 59-60, Stephen is being stoned, and he has a vision of God the Father, and he sees Jesus, and he prays to Jesus. He addresses Jesus. Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, Paul the Apostle, he says he implored the Lord Jesus three times, about his thorn in the flesh, and Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient."
2 Corinthians 12, he said.
12:8-9, yes. And then there's another verse, and it's from an Old Testament reference. And it's, for example, out of, Psalm 116:4. And this is an interesting one, because in Psalm 116:4, they call upon the name of the Lord. And they call upon him, and that means to pray to him. Because, I call upon the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, I beseech you, save my life. And so he's praying to him. That's what it means, to call upon the name of Yahweh. Well, that's the Old Testament Hebrew. The New Testament, when the Jews translated that, the Old Testament Hebrew into Greek, they translated it as upon the name of the Lord in Greek, Hakurias. So call upon the name of the Lord, the whole phrase, deals with prayer, adoration, and worship to God. It's the phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, not the phrase, not the word call, not the word name, but the phrase, call upon the name of the Lord. And that phrase is used of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:2, when it says that the church, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's proof of his deity, as proof that we can pray to him. So there's five areas where you can demonstrate that. Also, you can also go to, if you want, 2 Corinthians, 13:14, all right? And it says there, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, let me go over and put this in my notes here. I'm going to write an article on this. It says, grace in the Lord Jesus Christ and love of God and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Well, if you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's because you're speaking to him. And in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, through whom you're called into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus. How do you have fellowship with someone you don't pray to and talk to? So you can pray to Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's God in flesh. All right?
That's great. Yeah, I knew I'd get a lot of answers from you, and it's good to hear it from another brother in Christ, to give me some scripture that I can read it. I shouldn't feel this way. I don't know. I believe in the deity of Christ. He that liveth and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. Amen. He's God,
Yes.
So I don't.
And people might say, well, then why did he say when in prayer, our Father art in heaven? He didn't say only pray this way. Now, when they ask him how to pray, he's there, sitting there under the law. And what's he going to do? He's going to say, well, this is how you pray. Pray to the Father. Why? Because he's made under the law, Galatians 4:4. So he prayed to the Father. This is how you pray. And we should pray to the Father. But we can also pray to the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
When he went to the cross, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all things. So
right, he did. That's right. And so that's why. But also, we see that the issue of prayer is applied to him after his ascension into heaven. In Acts 7, 59 and 60, 1 Corinthians 1, 9, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Okay? So it's okay to pray to him. All right?
That's good. I really appreciate that. You answered my questions. I'm going to do some Bible reading now. I haven't really been reading the Bible much lately. My mom is she'll be 90 years old next week, and she's had a lot of issues. And I'm disabled, so I'm on disability. So I'm the one that's here with her, you know, trying to take this medicine, take that medicine. You know, it's a little been tough, but we're hanging in there.
Understand that.
One day at a time.
Understand that. Yes, that's right. That's what caretakers do. I'm a caretaker to some degree with my wife. One day at a time,
right?
And you just do what you got to do. One day at a time, you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus, and you do what you got to do. All right.
Right.
So
I'll be praying that she gets stronger and you get through everything she's going through. So.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we do. God lets us do it. He lets us go through it.
Right.
All right.
There you go, brother. Things I'm like, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through this. I'm going through it. You know. I'm like.
Yeah.
God give me the strength.
Well, you know, I want my wife to get on the radio and talk about this. Now, she's in a situation right now where all the combined problems she's had of being hurt are nothing compared to the one she's going through now. And all of them combined. And I want her to get on the radio when she recovers, that she get on the radio and talk about this with people. I know that people would want to hear what she has to say. Yeah.
Probably help a lot of people.
Yes. Yes, it would, but she's chicken to speak on the air. I just say, look, you call me on the phone. You're just talking to me.
Well, I get nervous just
the phone.
I get nervous just calling and asking a question. I mean,
it's no big deal.
I don't see how people could actually stand up in front of them and preach to people. I'm like,
yeah, I love doing that. For me, that's one of the most favorite things to do is get up and preach and teach in front of a group. I love it. So. But then I'm afraid of heights. See, I can't understand why people can get close to an edge or go up on a bridge and look over. Yeah, I can't do that. But in front of a group, no problem. And see, people have their issues. Okay? So that's just what it is. Okay.
Well, I hope you have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
Well, good. Oh, that reminds me. Thanks for telling me that. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. All right, man.
Yeah. I smell a beef stew in there. It smells pretty good. I'll eat.
Well, good. That's good. Good.
Have a good weekend. God bless.
You too, man. God bless. Okay, I just remembered something, that tomorrow I'll be online speaking at an online conference, Ministry to Muslims. That's just, you know, Ministry to T-O Muslims. And so I'll be speaking on a particular topic. Is the Eastern Orthodox priesthood biblical? And I've been working on a PowerPoint presentation. So what is their sacerdotal salvation? It's a salvation of system of works and things like that. And so I'll be doing that tomorrow. I don't know exactly what time. But if you're just curious about it, you can go to ministrytomuslims.com. You can check it out. I'm looking at the page right now. And Anthony Rogers, I know Anthony, and Eddie Delcor, and who else is going to be there? Oh, I know Vocab, Dr. Tony Costa. Yeah, they're going to have some good stuff, great debate series. I don't know who Pastor Olin Giles is. The other guys, I have all their numbers. We talk. They're great guys, man. It's George Saig, he speaks Arabic, and he has a ministry to Muslims. He is such a great man. He's a great guy. And he wants me to fly out to the East Coast in August to speak at a conference. And so I'd like to go, but my 50-year high school reunion is the same month, so I don't know if I can, because I want to go to the reunion. My wife said she wanted to go, but I don't know if she can make it. But it depends. So we'll find out. Now, there's going to be debate from Ministry to Muslims. Tony Costa is going to debate Shadid Lewis. I've debated Shadid before, and he's a Muslim. And let's see. And Shadid Lewis and Vocab Malone. That's going to be interesting. I know Vocab. Vocab is great. Tony Costa is great. And Anthony Rogers, yeah, he's okay. Yeah, whatever. After it gets back to him, hopefully he'll smile. No, he's great too. And they're all great guys there. It's a lot of good speakers, a lot of good stuff. And I've had the privilege of speaking alongside of these guys. That's what's kind of intimidating. I remember I went down into Anaheim, California last year to speak at the Ministry to Muslims conference. And I'm sitting there with these guys who, they know a lot. They really do. And I'm going to say this, it's just a little bit intimidating to be up there with these guys who have doctorate degrees and have studied a particular issue for many years. And so there's a lot to learn from good people that God has raised up. And there's a lot of good men out there. So there you go, there you go. If you're interested in checking out more, it is ministrytomuslims.com. I'm going to see when the upcoming events things is, because our Strong Tower of California East Coast tickets on live, OST live. I got to check this out, take the site. Is there password protected? I got to look at it and see. Anyway, there you go. Hey, so also, I just want to let you know that we stay on the air by your support. So please consider supporting us. We definitely need that support. I don't ask very often, and not a big deal, but if you like what you hear on the radio and you want to see it, or I should say hear it continue, and you want others to hear this kind of stuff, then please consider supporting us. We don't ask very much, just maybe $5 or $10 a month. $5 or $10 a month. If you could do something like that, that would be very, very helpful. It's easy to set up. You just go to carm.org/donate. That's carm.org/donate. And it's easy to set up, it's easy to cancel. We ask $5 a month, $10 a month, because then we can set our budgets and we can do what we need to be doing and stuff like that. We got about 30 seconds in the show. I want to say thanks to all of you. I've been praying for my wife and also for Joanne, who works with us, and she had a surgery and there's been complications, and she's in a lot of pain and recovering, though. But that's just how things are sometimes. And also pray for Laura and Charlie, who work with me on a daily basis on the radio, working with the behind-the-scenes stuff to make the radio thing smoother here on my end. May the Lord bless you. There's the music. By His grace, back on the air on Monday. Hope you have all a great weekend. Go to church, and we'll just talk to you then. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.